So welcome to the last official session of the Bro Talk in April, but we're entering into a new month from tomorrow, May, with special attention on men's mental health. And it's therefore with that, I'm delighted to introduce Roland, who's both a colleague of mine and a passionate advocate for men's mental health. Roland, welcome to Bro Talk.
Thank you, Gary. Thanks so much for having me on. Really appreciate it. And quite excited for the topic we're going to tackle today.
Right. And Roland, as I mentioned that, you've got a huge heart for men. When did this occur in terms of men's mental health and well-being?
To be honest, Gary, I feel like it's only been a couple of years, okay? Purely because of my own journey. But let's say for the last 3 or 4 years, I've realized something about men's mental health and the challenges there that I feel like I can add value to. Or if I'm being honest, I feel like there's a crisis. We have a crisis on our hands. And so maybe let's call it the last 3 to 4 years, Gary, but I've really grabbed onto it as a concept and wanted to do something about it.
Crisis is a big word. Why do you say crisis? And is a crisis specifically to men, or is it because we're focused on men for the next month?
I think that it's a crisis. I believe we're living through a mental health crisis, but I do think in particular men are struggling through this crisis for various different reasons. And I'm going to use a lot of generalizations today, okay? But the generalizations come as a result of what in the world around you and in my experience as a counselor and a coach and how I work. I primarily work with men. That's what my aim is. Okay. So just through that experience and through what I see in day-to-day life, I say it is men. And one of the main reasons I think that is because we struggle to talk about our feelings. We struggle to talk about difficult emotions. I love football, Gary. And I always think about how we're not afraid to celebrate a goal, okay? And really let our emotions out, get crazy, and enjoy that moment. When it's difficult, we struggle to deal with our emotions, and we don't always react in the most positive way. So that's a little bit about why men's mental health, because typically we don't know how to deal with the emotions. And then beyond that, we struggle to do something which I find now is very simple. Personally, I still struggle with how difficult that is, right? And that is asking for help. Yeah, we struggle to ask for help. So I would say those are the two main reasons why it's so important to me and why I think it's so big. Number one, we struggle with our emotions as men. We don't know how to process for various different reasons. There's good reasons in there, but we struggle how to process our emotions, and then we don't know how to ask for help. Also good reasons in there as well. That's not an indictment on us as men. But it's just an observation.
You mentioned the word difficult a few times. You said that so that in a football environment, so that football stadium, or even watching at home with friends, it's not seen as difficult to share your emotions. So obviously difficult, it must be relaxing, easy, safe is probably the appropriate word. But on a personal level, when you're dealing with your own internal struggles or challenges, it's not as safe. It's become more difficult to open up. And Roland, briefly, it's not the purpose of today's interview, but can you give some insight in terms of you, how difficult it was for you to reach out and ask for help and being that vulnerable?
100%. So I think this is where my story begins. So thank you for prompting it. I think at the end of the day, Gary, I have been through my own mental health struggles, and it's ongoing, to be fair. Right? I may work as a mental health practitioner now, but it doesn't mean I don't have mental health struggles. The way I started was I was in a place that I feel like was really dark. I was really unhappy within my life and within who I was and what I was experiencing. I had many years ago been for therapy before, but I don't think it really hit home. I was a lot younger. I think I was in my 20s. It didn't really hit home. But I got to this point in my life. I think my little one was still pretty small. We had moved countries. I had lost the understanding of what was going on around me, if that makes sense. So I was unhappy, but didn't know I was unhappy. I was angry, but didn't know I was angry. I was frustrated, but didn't know I was frustrated. So what the challenge is there, it's that you're experiencing and going through all of these things, but there's a disconnect in terms of understanding. Because you don't understand it, what can tend to happen and what happened to me was you tend to think that the problem is outside of yourself. Yeah. So you look to correct things outside of yourself. Whereas really all I needed to do was look inside.
Related to what you just shared, Roland, when did that awareness for you materialize? When did you realize the problem is not outside of me, the problem's within?
There's only one time I can think of. There's no specific moment, but it's through the journey that I took with you again. It's a few years ago now. I can't remember how many years, but I reached out, right? Now, I reached out for help from a counselor, okay? Being yourself. Again, I want to say the only reason I reached out, and again, this full disclosure, my wife said to me, listen, buddy, there's a lot you're going through right now, and I don't think you fully realize it.
Yeah.
I need you to go get help.
Yeah.
And I did that. I took that step purely because, in general, I tried to listen to her. But if I look back now, I probably sat there saying, I don't know what else to do. This doesn't necessarily feel comfortable to me. And I don't necessarily feel like this is going to work. But I'll do it because she's asking. And maybe I'm missing a beat. And she's so mad at me right now. I'm going to do something, but she's not mad. That's full disclosure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to say that because I think men out there often feel like, or if I'm doing it for someone else, that doesn't make sense. Or if I'm doing it because someone has asked me to do it, it's not going to really work. I feel like maybe you could say I'm living proof that I may not have come into it with the right intentions. I may have come into it with wanting to just relieve some pressure off me from the people around me who were saying, listen, you're not okay. But the net effect and the net result is what's in front of you today and the life that I've lived since then. If I were to say what moment, it was in the months post first engaging with you and working through what it was my challenges were. Now, I want to say that I didn't know what they were when I first sat down with you, but the process of talking, which is not a process I'm very au fait with, okay, talking and sharing my feelings. That is the process that I feel like unlocked a lot, which I'd never really done before. I'd never really had that safe space as a man to say, this doesn't make me feel good, that this is my challenge, and I feel scared about this, or whatever it is.
Naturally, your wife was very strategic and pivotal in you reaching out for help. And often we put a lot of onus on men to speak out, reach out for help. But equally, on more occasions than not, it seems somebody thinking, you're not quite right. And just ask that simple question. Are you okay? How are you doing? Do you want to talk? Even before men did to see a professional, because in our own skin, we think we're doing okay. We're masking it from everybody else. But someone like clearly your wife, if you don't mind me saying the name, Bianca, could see that you're not right. And
as
men, we've got a responsibility, I believe, and a duty to look out for everyone, not just men, women and children, but particularly with men, because we know how hard it is for just to step out. So in your profession, as well as personally, staying in your profession, you're now a qualified counsellor and a qualified coach. How did men seek you? Is it through similar routes as you, through their wives, or men actually reaching out on their own behalf and saying, I need help?
I think by and large, it's being encouraged by someone else, to be honest. I find a lot of men come to me because someone has said to them, listen, I think you need a bit of help right now. You're struggling through this moment at this time. If I were to give you a percentage, it's probably 70% of the men that come to me that I've worked with have come to me because someone has said to them, listen, you need to look into getting help. And the other 30% have done so by their own accord. Again, just you asked me what my client base has been like, what my experience of my clients has been. And my experience may be different from others. But the reality is, that's the 70%. And in all honesty, the other 30% have come because they've done something or they've found themselves in a position where it is impossible for them to ignore that they're not okay. That makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So that may be a physical act or an emotional act that they are really not proud of, really embarrassed of, really ashamed of. And that's prompted them to say, oh, someone who does that is not okay. And therefore, okay, I need to go speak to someone.
Yeah. And Nick, you, a colleague of ours, well, also Roland's, especially with the wife encouraging them, saying, like, you need to sort this out. Wasn't quite a stream now, otherwise we're not together. But you do get that in a lot of cases whereby if you don't sort this anger out, if you don't sort that whatever challenge or issue they're struggling with, then especially when it's really affecting the relationship. And we call that shotgun counselling, whereby it's otherwise fair. And now I know recently that you're also now engaging in couple counselling. Do you see that unfold itself in couple counselling, whereby the guy's primarily there or largely there because the wife has said, we don't sort this out, the marriage is over, or the relationship is over?
Again, if it's a man that's reached out to me, this, and I'll be full disclosure. Okay. If it's a man that's reached out to me, Gary, 100% of the times it's been that the wife has said, listen, we don't do something. Yeah, that's it. And I'm putting the responsibility on you now to go find someone. Yeah.
Now, women, and in defense of men, he says, okay, right, men are really finding the hard times at the moment, and we are the problems. But what is it? What's the underlying issues that you're finding, right, in regards to? Because if we're struggling, I don't like using that word as a man, but if we are struggling or finding things difficult or challenging, there has to be reasons why. Is it the pressures of society, the pressure within the home? Is it expectations, fulfilling them or not meeting them? What's your assessment?
Yeah. What I've seen, Gary, is three big things: culture, community, and society. So part of our culture, the carry burdens. The community says we must carry burdens. Society says we must carry burdens. What do I mean by when I say carry burdens? Men don't know that there's a place where they can be safe and vulnerable. They've not been raised that way. Their dads have not been behaved that way. Their moms have not told them that it's okay to be that way. So naturally, we sit here now as adult men and we struggle to connect with any of those things. So even if you ask it, because men feel scared, okay? If you do want to... even if we ask it, men feel scared. Even if we are wanting to cry, because men cry, they just cry on their own. That's what I've learned.
Yeah.
Yeah. They may not cry with anyone around, but they will cry on their own. So even if they're scared, even if they're sad, no one knows. We put as men, again, all my generalizations today, but we put as men more effort into not showing anyone that we're not okay than effort into actually becoming okay. If we took that same energy and put it towards working on ourselves and being okay, for lack of a better term, we'd be a lot better off. So I mentioned community, culture, and society now, and you asked me that question. And that's also the things that stop us. So it's what's raised us to be this way.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's also now what stops us. And it stops us from speaking really hard truths. Because in the business world, in the corporate world, in public sector even, within government, you've got to be a strong man who doesn't feel pain, okay? Whether it's physical pain or emotional pain, for you to be successful. And that's how we see people talk about toxic masculinity from one perspective only.
Yeah.
And that is what toxic masculinity does to women. That's what's in the zeitgeist in the world today. And that's what predominantly what we talk about. But we forget that toxic masculinity is against men in the first place. Because what it does is it stops men from being full human beings, vulnerable human beings. I've given you a long-winded answer there.
No, it's very insightful. And makes you think back to how a lot has changed for the better. Equally, many things haven't changed. And I think back to the 70s and the 80s, and to a degree the 90s, the Iron Man was a superhero. Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Hulk. And the more gravitate towards that type of man, because he'd be like, oh, he's strong, he's big, he's going to protect me, he's going to make me safe. And you wouldn't see a superhero cry. Yeah, he'll come and defeat you. The woman will cry, they'll go to the man, he makes me feel safe, everything's fine. So to now put that script upside down, and say it's okay for Superman to take his cape off and cry is a foreign concept for most men, and therefore makes us feel very uncomfortable. And also, considering the woman's perspective, whereby as much as people promoting men becoming more vulnerable and sharing their emotions and feelings, after all, would a woman feel as safe? He could, okay, my man's not as strong as I thought he was. Or would that make them feel closer to the man? Okay, he's sharing with me, so together we're stronger.
In my experience, from what I've seen, and I do a lot of work with couples now as well, and I've seen many women say to their partners, I don't know you. If I knew you, I'd feel a lot better about what's going on. But because I don't know what's going on in there, and all I see is your anger, this facade that you're putting up, or your frustration, or whatever it is, and because you don't talk to me about what's happening, I don't feel like I know you. And because I don't feel like I know you, I don't feel like I can trust you. And if I can't trust you, then what are we doing here? So as a direct answer to the question, Gary, just in my experience again, and I've been married 16 years next month.
Don't get it wrong. Yep.
Yeah. It's okay. We both get it wrong. But I've been married 16 years next month. I've been with my partner 22 years.
Congratulations.
And thank you. He'll also always say, like, one of my biggest frustrations with you is I don't know what's going on in here sometimes or here. And that's a frustration that I have, because when I don't know what's going on, there's nothing I can do to help. And that leaves me powerless. And it also pushes me away from you. Yeah, so that creates the distance. So as a direct answer to the question, I think that women, by and large, would prefer that their partners or the men around them be vulnerable with them.
But once more, it's fairly safe that a man can feel vulnerable with his partner, because there have been occasions whereby they have expressed that vulnerability, it's been met negatively, and that the barriers go up much stronger. And it's like, right, I'm not going to be vulnerable again. And that person's necessarily their partner. It could be with their mum, it could be with their dad, could be with a friend. And if it's not received in the right way, often because people feel uncomfortable, it's like, right, it's not safe for me to share. And it's sad to say that the statistics with men regards to heart attacks, stress, suicide are not decreasing. They're on the increase. And it's no coincidence regards to not sharing, not being vulnerable, not reaching out, the pressure we're carrying, as you correctly said, carrying a burden. We've got, our body's got a limit. Our emotions have a limit. Our minds have a limit. And it's only so much we can carry before it's going to explode, and often to the detriment of our well-being, if not fatal as well. So moving forward, Roland, what would you say? You mentioned about safe space and men talking. As a man, in thinking about your circle of friends, professionally and personally, how do you really encourage men? Because that's a key word. You said your wife encouraged you, men are encouraged. How do you really encourage men to reach out, to find that safe space and talk?
I think that as a start, there are some practitioners out there that are men. And I know people have said to me in the past, oh, you're a unicorn. You're a brown man who works in mental health. The male practitioners, or even those who feel like they have the strength within them to speak up about their journey, about what's happened to them, and about how they feel, they don't have a responsibility to speak up. Okay? Because I think that's unfair. You don't put that on anyone. Okay? But I think that if more men were to speak up about the challenges that they faced in their lives with regards to their mental health, that's a good place to start. Okay? Because what happens then is you find that men will come and learn from that and engage with it. So let me give you context, right? I've had a lot of men come to me from the content that I put out there, whether on whatever social media platform, come to me and say, listen, that really resonated with me. That really helped me. And I've never heard from them before in my life, or even if in some cases it's a closer person, and you'd never expect them to come and say, hey, that I really liked that. That really helped me. And I'm like, I know you for 20 years now. You've never said to me that this is something you maybe struggle with. If you find it, if you have the strength within you to speak up. And then I say to those men who maybe haven't gone through a process where they feel strong enough to speak up. And I know as I'm saying it that I'm asking for a very difficult thing, okay? That is to reach out and get help, whether it's through a professional or a man who you can share with that you are safe with. And there are lots of groups out there in this day and age. There's lots of men's mental health societies. Not enough, in my opinion.
Yeah,
but there's a lot more. Yeah, there's a lot more than there used to be. There's a lot more male mental health practitioners. And the short answer is to reach out. And if I give you this sort of comparison, I've had a couple of clients come to me over a period of time who have come to me and said, I've taken a journey of bettering myself. And it started with going to the gym and saving money. And then at some point in the journey, I realized I could do with someone to talk to. Because the saving money or the financial planner didn't help me with how I was feeling. And the gym helped me a lot with how I was feeling, but it didn't help everything. Okay. So the reason I bring that up is because as men, we're very comfortable with saying, I'm going to the gym, I'm going to meet my coach, my personal trainer. I'm going to go smash through a weight session. And I'm all for it. That's exactly what I love. But we're very good at talking or at showing off our prowess in the gym or physically how powerful we can be and how we're looking to get more, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I would say working with a mental health practitioner at all, or even joining a group or something like that, just talking about your feelings, it's just that next step for you. Okay. We've been going to the gym for many years, right? And lifting weights for many years, but we haven't been practicing and exercising our minds, our emotions, and working through them. And I would say, if I give you one viewpoint, it's just an extension of physical activity.
An extension of the gym. Mental prowess.
Yeah. 100%.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Ronan, as we wrap it up now, you bet people know about your profession in terms of not your profession, your business, how they can reach you, contact you, and hopefully work with you.
Yes, Gary, thank you. You'll find me, probably the easiest way to find me is on LinkedIn. And if you just put it in my name is Roland Pakri. I have Instagram account and I have a Facebook page as well. That's all under the name of my business, which is Dynamis Wellness. Okay. But best thing to do is Google me and you'll find my website. You'll find me on LinkedIn. And you find I talk a lot about men's mental health, but I talk about a lot of other different topics as well. It's just that my passion is men's mental health. So, yeah, that's how you'll find me.
And how do you spell your surname, Roland?
Oh, sorry. P-A-I-R-I.
No. And finally, it'd be odd for us to finish a call without mentioning something that does affect our mental health, not as much as it used to, hopefully. Yeah. Liverpool FC, how are they going to end the season? What a decline. A nosedive, some would say.
Yeah, it has been a nosedive. And I've shared with you a little bit about this previously. I personally believe what happened is mentally it's gone off the cliff. So it's a very empathetic, connected team and they're connected emotionally. And I think that what's happened is because Klopp's leaving, the lads can't handle it. Yeah. And I feel like for them, it's like their dad's leaving. And so it's been a lot of pressure and it's been a hard few weeks for them. The one thing I'll remind Liverpool supporters is that it doesn't mean the talent's gone. It doesn't mean the passion's gone. It doesn't mean the skill's gone. But it does mean the head and the heart are not connected right now. The head is probably still saying, we've got to win. We've got to win every game and we've got to put our best foot forward. I don't believe for a second that they're not saying that, but the heart's hurting. Yeah. And so that's my opinion. And I think there just needs to be some addressing of the heart. That's it.
So I think you need to take a chip on the M1 and M6 and 10 to 30 vulnerable men who need to talk.
I think they do need to talk. I think they do need to talk. But I will remind Liverpool supporters, Gary, that if you asked us at the beginning of the year if we'd take top four and a trophy, we all would have snapped your arm.
Don't give me that, say, blah, 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 blah. We're Liverpool Football Club. First is everywhere and second is nowhere.
Yeah, this is the thing. This is the thing.
Well, we've learned something about the man in front of us today, Roland Pakri. Thank you very much today for giving up your time, especially before you start to work, and for your insightful wisdom and knowledge. And I really encourage you and your business, your work with men and couples, that you'll be there to really be pioneer, to really expand men's health on a one-to-one basis and a group basis, and as you progress on a national and further afield. So, Roland, thank you again. And yeah, all the best for the future.
Thank you, Gary. Thanks very much for the chat. I really appreciate it and giving me the platform. And always here to talk about men's mental health. The more of us talk about it, the more of us share about it, the better off we will be as a society as a whole.
So thank you for today's Bro Talks, entering into a site month of May with men's mental health. And it cannot be said enough. You're hearing the narrative, you're hearing the repeated message. Men, we need to talk. I've created a safe space for us to talk. We carry burdens, some of them justified and a lot unjustified. But mainly, we're not meant to do this on our own. So if you, this message has touched you in any way, reach out to Roland, reach out to the Gap Counselor, or reach out to a friend or your partner. But most importantly, reach out. You do not have to walk this journey alone. Thank you.